Well, good morning, everyone. In light of what we've been talking about this morning, we're going to have a little bit of a different sermon here this morning. As you know, we typically like to study through books of the Bible, and as Jeff's been bringing us through Thessalonians, we're going to take a little break here this morning. And what we're going to talk about is just something we just did here, which is praying, but specifically praying for the next generation. Just how do we pray for the next generation? As we kind of come across this Mother's Day, and yes, as Pastor Jeff so aptly said, it's a day filled with a lot of different emotions. And yet, there is one thing that we can all agree on, whether we have children or not, is that it's at the very heart of God that we should be praying for the next generation. We should be praying for those coming after us. And it's important that we learn how to pray. Because I think prayer is not something that we come to naturally. I can recall when I was in high school, I was a Christian in high school, and I joined an FCA group, Fellowship of Christian Athletes, and the very first meeting they said, hey, you need to get up early in the morning and you need to pray. Okay, it's important that you pray. You need to read your Bible and pray. So they gave me a study guide, and they said, get up early. Now, I had to leave pretty early to go to school. It sounds like one of those old man stories, but you know, I had to get up and walk to school at 6:15 in the morning to get to a 7 a.m. class. And anyways, I got up at 5:30 in the morning. I said, okay, I'm going to get up at 5:30 and I'm going to read my Bible, study, and pray. And so I get up early, I read the study guide, I read the Bible, and now I have to pray. Now picture 15-year-old Steve, 5:40 in the morning. Close my eyes to pray, and I probably didn't get past the, like, dear God, boom, I was out. I slept, and because I turned my alarm off, I slept through the morning. It was late to school, and so my first attempt at a disciplined prayer life got me in trouble at school. And what I didn't know at the time was that I didn't really know how to pray, but I thought everyone else did. I thought the whole world had this vibrant prayer life, and I was the weird one that actually didn't know how to pray. And I didn't realize something then, and I wish somebody would have told me this. If you read the story of Jesus, like the Gospels, the story of Jesus and his disciples, and you think about this, the disciples spend all this time with Jesus. And they saw many things, miracles and amazing teaching and confrontation and all kinds of stuff that Jesus did. Okay? But there's only one thing recorded in the Bible that the disciples asked Jesus to teach them. The disciples didn't say, teach us to walk on water. Teach us to heal people. Teach us to teach like you teach. There's only one thing in the Bible that the disciples asked Jesus to teach them, and it's found in Luke 11, verse 1. It says, now Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples. Now you can kind of see that little verse and you can kind of blow past it, but the realization that John came before Jesus and he was teaching his disciples how to pray, and the disciples are going, we don't know how to pray, you need to teach us. And I think that is probably a prayer or a statement for all of us, right? Lord, teach us to pray. And in my life, for many years, no one taught me how to pray. And so I tried to pray, but it didn't really work. And all I would do most of the time is fall asleep. So here's what I want to do. I want to do two things. I want us to learn how to pray here this morning. So this is going to be a little bit more of an equipping message where we're going to just talk about how to pray. And we're going to learn how to pray for the next generation. How do we pray for those coming behind us? And what I want you to know is that at the very heart of God is the next generation. In fact, God views the generations as critical. It's a huge part. And if you were to go through the Bible and look up the idea of generations and the next generations, what you would find is that this is at the very essence of how God thinks. He wants us to think 2, 3, 4 generations down the road. In fact, there's a psalm that I think is timely that we should read here. Psalm 78, verses 4 through 7. you can see God's heart for the next generation. It says, we will not hide them from their children, but tell to the coming generation the glorious deeds of the Lord and his might and the wonders that he has done. He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers, look at this, he commanded our fathers to teach to their children, that the next generation might know them, the children yet unborn, and arise and tell them to their children. So they should set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. He's saying, I want you to tell your kids, I want you to be ready to even tell the kids who haven't even been born yet, so that those kids who haven't even been born yet would tell their kids about how awesome God is. So you can see how God views the next generation. What can happen to us is that we can, like, complain about the next generation. That gets easier as you get older, right? You get older, you start going, oh, next generation. Oh, my word. I'm scared when they take over leadership, right? I remember people saying that about my generation, and I may or may not have said that about the generation below me, but there's a reality that the Bible doesn't say complain about the next generation. It doesn't say get worried about the next generation. It says teach the next generation. Engage the next generation. Pray for the next generation. So we're going to combine those two things this morning. What my goal here this morning is to teach you how to pray and to teach you how to pray for the next generation. And the way we're going to do it, I'm going to tell you how we're going to do it right up front, is I'm going to teach you how to use Scripture as the way you pray for the next generation. So what should fuel our prayers is Scripture. If you're struggling with prayer, and you're trying to learn how to pray, it's always good to start with praying Scripture. Instead of trying to figure out what to say and then get lost and fall asleep, or all of a sudden, like, I never do to-do lists until I start praying. You know what I mean? Like, you start praying, all of a sudden, oh, man, I got to wash the car. Oh, you know, I start writing things down. Like, I never do to-do lists unless I'm praying. And so, like, what? How do I get my brain to not do that? How do I stay focused? Well, it's through praying Scripture. And when you pray Scripture, it's actually an amazing thing because you're connecting to something very powerful. In fact, just real quick, I want to give you like five reasons why praying Scripture is incredible, why it's important. Here they are. I'm going to give them kind of quickly here. First thing I want you to understand is that when you pray Scripture, you're in alignment with God's will. You're in alignment with God's will. What that means is that if you're saying, if I'm reading Scripture and I'm praying this for the next generation, I know I'm praying God's will because I'm praying what God said. So I'm connecting to God's will. Secondly, there's spiritual empowerment. Hebrews 4:12 says, the word of God is living and active. Man, I'm not just saying words. I'm actually saying God's word, and God's word is transformative. And so I'm connecting to something that's powerful. There's a third reason Scripture is amazing to pray, because it gives you, I like to call it expressive depth. Sometimes life throws you a curveball and you can't find the words to say, right? Sometimes life can throw you a curveball. You don't know what to say. You're silenced. You don't even know how to pray. And yet you can jump into the Psalms and you can find the sentences and the phrases that are saying exactly what you can't say. And there's a depth to Scripture that gives you words for the realities of this life. Fourthly, it's educational informative. As I'm praying Scripture for people, I'm changing too. And so I begin to grow in my changing because the Scriptures are forming me as well. And then finally, here's the cool one. I think they're all cool, but this is one I think is interesting. Community and continuity. Here's something interesting. If I'm praying Scripture, guess what? I'm praying the same thing that possibly Paul was praying for the next generation. I might be saying the exact same words as the Apostle Paul. I might be part of a giant cloud of witnesses saying the same thing that Christians have been saying for thousands of years. And we're joining in the heart of God for the next generation. So, that's kind of setting the table here of kind of what we're doing, right? We're going to learn how to pray for the next generation, and we're going to learn how to pray for the next generation using Scripture. So we're going to hit this. We're not going to be expositing any passages. I'm just going to show this to you. Then at the end of the service, we're going to do it. We'll have some people come up here and lead us in how to do this, and we'll be doing it together. So we're going to kind of run through this relatively quickly here. But there's four ways, four elements of Scripture we're going to focus on. I'm going to teach you how to pray, how to do what I call praying with the Psalms. What the Psalms do is they help us find the words. Sometimes when there are no words, the Psalms can help us find the words. So we'll look at praying with the Psalms. And we're going to look at praying with the Lord's Prayer. The Lord's Prayer kind of explains to us how we should live in this world. And I like to call it just spiritual growth. It's praying for the things that should govern the way I live my life. This is how God wants us to pray. So we're going to learn how to do that with praying through the Lord's Prayer. And then we're going to focus on praying with the Gospels. We pray with the Gospels because the Gospels reveal to us who Jesus Christ is in all of his fullness. And as I see these things in the Gospels, I can start praying that people would be conformed to the image of Jesus, which is what the world needs. Right? My complaining about the next generation will not make the next generation better, but Jesus can make the next generation even better than my generation. Right? So we can pray the Gospels that people would become like Jesus. And then finally, praying with the promises. The Scriptures have a whole bunch of promises, and we want to find hope. And that's the hope this world needs, because it's a world filled with anxiety, and our young people need hope instead of anxiety. They need something to ground their life in. So that's what we're going to look at. The goal here is pretty simple: teach you how to pray and hopefully motivate you to pray for the next generation. So let's jump into this now. You ready? If you have your Bible and you want to turn to Psalm 23, we're going to be flipping around. So you can click or swipe or turn. It will also be on the slides behind me, each passage we look at. But I want us to look at Psalm 23 here this morning. I'm going to read through it quickly, and then we're going to talk about this psalm and show you some things we can use to pray through this psalm. But let me read Psalm 23. It says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his namesake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." So that's a very familiar psalm. I picked it because it was familiar. But I want you to think about the words in that psalm. I want you to think about the experiences that he's talking about in the psalm. Because you're familiar with it, you might forget about, like you might miss the emotion of the psalm. But there's a reality that he's saying the Lord is an amazing shepherd, and he can feed you. He can give you what you need when you're lost, man. And your inside is hungry, and you're longing for something deeper than what dope and sex and rock and roll can give you. You need something deeper than that. And he can bring you and feed you. And your soul, when your soul is heavy and you feel heavy laden and worn down, he can actually restore it, meaning he recognizes there are things in life that can break it, that can just crush you, and yet he can lift you out of that press you can feel in. And he can lead you into righteousness so that you can be set free from the sin that weighs you down. You see the picture that's being painted here? Going through the valley of the shadow of death. We live in a world where death is everywhere. And we deal with it. And it hurts and it's painful. But he can guide us through that. And he's got a rod and a staff to do two things, man. He can scratch my back with that thing. He can whack me when I'm getting wrong. He can fight off the bears when they're coming to get me. He's that protective of me. You see the picture that's here. He's talking about the need for protection, the need for restoration, the need for help and care and love. Think about praying that for the next generation. Think about praying that. Let me give you an example, a practical example. This is like a simple sentence. But think about using Psalm 23. And you could say something along this line. Lord, just as you guide us with your rod and your staff, please lead our young ones in the paths of righteousness, protecting them from harm and guiding them in their decisions. Think about praying that for the next generation. You could go through a young person who's having a hard time and say, Lord, they're in the valley of the shadow of death. Help them not to be afraid of the evil that surrounds them, but help them to know that they can be comforted by your righteousness. right? We can bring this psalm to bear on the human experience that our next generation will go through. And so we can use the psalms to help us find those words. Okay? There's the first one. Now let's talk about praying for the Lord's Prayer. If you want to turn to Matthew 6, we'll hit the next one. Like I said, at the end of this, we're going to give you a chance to practice this. Matthew 6, again, the Lord's Prayer gives us spiritual growth. Matthew 6, verses 9 through 13. Jesus is instructing his disciples, and he says, pray then like this. Right? They want to know how to pray? I'm going to teach you how to pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Now we'll just stop there. You can see what's in this prayer. This prayer begins with praise, right? The Lord should be worshipped. So we begin our prayer with worship, he says. And then when you pray, what are you also praying for? We're praying for God's will to happen. So it goes from worship to will, right? Your will be done. Just as your will is done perfectly in heaven, let it be done perfectly here on earth. But then it moves to provision. Lord, every day we need you. We need you, right? We need rain. Farmers need rain. We need God to provide. We need God to provide our food, but God is our provider, so we can go to him for provision. And so we need will, we need provision. But then in this world, we have to interact with other human beings, right? That's what makes living on this planet fun and exciting. And the reality is, in engaging with other human beings, we get hurt and we get angry and we get mad. And what we need is forgiveness, because anger will eat us alive. If we cannot forgive, then we will be consumed. That's what Galatians tells us. We'll be consumed by our anger. And so what do we need? The reality is that that's the path we're headed down. So we need to get this anger dealt with. And so God, forgive us. Forgive us for that anger, for our sin, as we forgive. Let us forgive the way you forgive. And then what we need is protection, because the world is constantly tempting us to go for the easy pleasure. Instead of righteousness, easy pleasure, right? So you look at all of those things that are in this prayer, and you start thinking, that's a lot to pray for the next generation, isn't it? So let's look. How could that look? Right, here's an example of how you could use the Lord's Prayer to help pray for the next generation. You could say, Father, let your kingdom come in the lives of our children. May your will be done in their schools, friendships, their future careers, as it is in heaven. As they face temptations, may they be delivered from evil, and may your power and glory be made known in their lives. There's a way you could use that thing to pray for the next generation. So think about that. Right, and again, we didn't even capture everything that's in that prayer. I'm just grabbing a few little things out just to show you that this would give us a way to start praying very practically for the next generation. Very practically. Okay, so we've got two examples now. Let's go to our third example. Because we've seen the Psalms, we've seen the Lord's Prayer. Now, let's talk about the Gospels. We could pray with the Gospels, becoming like Jesus. Turn to Matthew 5, 9 if you want to. Again, it'll be on the screen behind me. Matthew 5, 9. I just grabbed one thing out of the Sermon on the Mount here. Just one little passage. And I picked it for a reason. Matthew 5, 9. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. So Jesus just makes the statement. The people who go into a space and bring peace are the people who belong to me. Now, why did I pick that one? I picked that one because right now this entire world is divided and there's all kinds of conflict everywhere, from big global wars going on to internal political fighting to fighting in homes and fighting everywhere. There's fighting. There's conflict everywhere. Just can't go anywhere without there being, can't even drive down the road without somebody getting mad at you, having conflict, right? I mean, it just happens. But Jesus says, well, man, the people who are satisfied, the people who are happy, the people who are blessed are people who actually bring peace. Because what Christ does is he resolves conflict. He takes Jews and Gentiles who hate each other and makes them one. One body. He literally, in Christ, can solve the war in Israel instantly if people would turn to Christ. There would be no more war. Jesus brings peace. He brings, because why? Because he brings forgiveness, as we saw in the last one. Don't we want to pray that Christ would so absorb the next generation that we would see a generation of peacemakers raise up? Not shallow peacemakers. Not people who just put peace on a bumper sticker on their car. But people who are connected to Christ and the reconciliation of the cross. Don't we want to pray for that for the next generation? And so when you're praying through these Gospels, you can begin to start saying, hey, Jesus, man, I pray that your righteousness, that you would save this next generation, that they would be filled with your righteousness, that they would be like you, knowing how to resolve conflict, knowing how to bring answers where people have no answers. So here's a practical example of how you could use Matthew for this and the Gospels for this. You could say, Lord, help our young people to not look to the examples of the leaders around them that are fighting and cannot get along, but to look to Jesus, the one who can heal the divisions in the world. May we see a generation of people who understand the peace that comes through the gospel and through faith in Jesus and become a source of restitution and not conflict in the world. Can you imagine praying that for the next generation? How powerful that would be. And just as a side note on all these prayers, I don't think God would be in heaven listening to that prayer and go, nope, I absolutely will not answer that prayer. Right? I think we're touching the heart of God as we're praying these things. And so there's the Gospels. Now, let's look at the last one, praying with the promises. There's hope in Scripture, and there are promises scattered throughout the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, all kinds of promises. And these promises are given so that we would find an anchor in the crazy, right? The world's crazy, but man, we need anchor. We need help. So let me show you one promise in the Bible. Philippians 4, 6 and 7. Just look there, Philippians 4, 6 and 7. It says, rejoice in the Lord always, and again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Now, I picked this promise for a reason. The promise is found in verse 7. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. But I picked it because if you look at the promise or at the whole passage, he's saying, rejoice, right? Give praise to the Lord. Keep praising him. Let everybody see your mind being governed by this kind of praise, your reasonableness. And this should flow out of the fact that whatever anxiety you have, you're bringing it to the Lord. So he's saying, because it's an anxious world. It's always been an anxious world. Everybody's been anxious. Anxiety came in the moment Adam and Eve sinned, right? All of a sudden, they hear the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden. Adam's like, oh, I'm freaking out. I got to go hide from God. Right? Boom. Instant anxiety. Sin brings anxiety. And so we feel this anxiety. The Scripture knows we feel it. And it says, listen, bring it to the Lord, because anxiety is something. The reason why you have anxiety oftentimes is because you feel like something's out of control and no one's in control, not even yourself. And so you start to worry. Just things falling apart. And you get anxious. And he's saying, bring that, but bring it as a request to the Lord. Prayer, supplication. Let the Lord know. And you bring it with the assumption that he cares and he's going to resolve it. So I'm laying this at your feet, God. I'm laying it at your feet so I can walk away and believe you have this. I'm going to trust that you have it. And he says, when that happens, the peace, the ending of conflict will come, and it's going to guard your heart and your mind. And it's a peace that surpasses understanding, meaning you're going to lay it at the Lord, and everybody's going to go, hey, you should really be freaking out about this because You should be, because we all are freaking out about it. He said, I've laid it at the hands of the Lord. Yeah, well, that's kind of crazy, isn't it? Man, I know it surpasses understanding, but I literally believe that God is more concerned about this than I am. I literally believe that he is not in heaven disengaged right now. So I'm going to lay this here so that my heart and my mind, notice it says, will be guarded by God's peace. So anxiety comes, the guard's there going, stop, we're not letting you in. Hey, that's the promise of the passage. Now, we want to pray that for our children, right? We want to pray it. And so here would be a way we could use that passage as a prayer. Here's a practical example. Father, we claim your promise of peace over our young ones. Guard their hearts and minds in Christ Jesus as they navigate the pressures of life. May they not only see the instability of the world, but find comfort in your control over the world. Let them find hope, peace, and stability and security, right? The world's unstable, but God is stable. Right? That's that song we sang, you never change, right? God is not freaking out. And so God's not even freaking out about the next generation, right? I'm the only one freaking out about that, right? He's stable. He doesn't change. So here's what we see. Four things, right? We're praying the Proverbs. We want to pray the Proverbs because the Proverbs give us words. We want to pray the Lord's Prayer because the Lord's Prayer gives us growth and stability. We want to pray the Gospels because the Gospels show us Jesus. And we want to pray the promises of God because they give us hope. Now, that is a way that you can pray for the next generation. It's also a way that you can just pray for yourself and for other people. But specifically, what we're trying to do here, and we thought it would just be good, is for us to think about and pray for the next generation, that we would maybe stop the tide of worry, stop the tide of complaining, and let's stand up and say, no, man, we're engaging the next generation. It's important to us, and we want to pray for it. So here's what we're going to do this morning. We're going to practice it. So there are four people who are going to come forward here. And they are going to do something. They're going to read a scripture verse. And then they're going to pause. Right? So we've got somebody who's going to come up and read from a proverb, then from the Lord's Prayer, then from the Gospels, and then from a promise. Okay? And when they come up, they're going to read a passage of scripture. Then they're going to pause, and they're going to give you a chance to pray. Practice it. And then they're going to close us out in prayer. And then we're going to practice all four of them here this morning. So I'm going to bring up, you first, Bill? Come on up and let's just kind of practice this together here.
I'm going to read from Psalm 103, verses 11 through 13. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. For he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. Please pray through this on your own for 1 minute, and then I will close us in prayer. But for 1 minute, please pray about this on your own. Lord, when I think of how far it is from the in this earth into the heavens and the universe, it's immense, light years of distance. That is the greatness of the love you have for those who fear you. It is far greater than our minds can comprehend. It is not only so great, but it is also steadfast. Nothing can shake it. Nothing can change it. And then we consider how far the east is from the west, and they never meet. That's how far you remove our sins from us. Your work on the cross was complete. As we consider this next generation, would you make this truth known to them? As they seek their love and forgiveness, would you help them to respond to you in awe and worship, knowing that you are the one who loves them and can cleanse them from their sin? Lord, you are compassionate. Thank you for showing compassion to each person you have made, and you know our end. You understand us better than we understand ourselves. May this next generation walk in reverence and fear of you, their Creator and Redeemer. In Jesus' name, amen.
I'm going to read from Matthew 6, 9 through 13. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Please pray through this for 1 minute. Our Father, thank you for being so relationally connected to us that we can know you as the perfect Father. You are the source of life, and you are also holy and deserving of all our honor and praise. God, may your name be glorified by all I say and do. May you be put on display through the lives of your children in the next generation. May each of us live with a focus on your kingdom, with an understanding that this present world is not all that is to be. Would you open the eyes of the next generation to see your coming kingdom and to seek it with their whole hearts? Let us walk in humility, doing your will and not our own. Lord, we thank you that you are our provider. Give us what we need for each day. Father, would you provide for the needs of the next generation in a way that they will know that you are the giver of their daily bread? Help them not be self-reliant, but to live in dependence on you for all their daily needs. And Lord, we know that we are sinners, saved by your grace. Your forgiveness is undeserved. Your mercy is great. May we model this forgiveness of others. And Lord, help the next generation to entrust you for justice, allowing them to forgive others as well. Lord, deliver us from all evil. Amen.
We're going to read from Matthew 16, 24 through 26. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone wishes to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life shall lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake shall find it. For what will a man be profited if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul?" Please pray through this for 1 minute and then join us together in prayer. Lord, as ruler of this universe, as our creator and as our savior, you are truly worth following. In fact, there is no one else in heaven but you. We know that following you means that we cannot also follow the desires of our fleshly hearts. We cannot have two masters. Lord, you are the creator of our souls, and you died to save our souls and give us eternal life. Help us to remember that gaining this world, everything that it has to offer in riches or status or honor or experience, none of this is worth the loss of our souls. Lord, may this next generation understand that in losing their lives for your sake, they will actually find the true life they are seeking. May the young hurting souls find their identity in you, the one who created them and loves them. Help them to understand that truth is not found in themselves, but in you. To find true freedom, they must submit their emotions and wills to you as Lord and follow you completely. In you there is life, abundant and eternal. Lord, may you open their hearts to understand this truth and not allow them to forfeit their souls for the things this world promises to provide. And may we be found faithful to follow hard after you too, for it is only by your grace we can do so. In the mighty, matchless name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
I'm going to be reading 1 Peter 1, verses 3 through 5. Blessed be God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his mercy, his great mercy, has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable, undefiled, and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. Please pray this through for 1 minute on your own and join me in prayer later. Heavenly Father, we bless you and we praise you, for you have shown us great mercy through the work of Jesus on our behalf. Because of the pain he endured, because of the wrath he bore, we now have a living hope. His resurrection proved that he paid the price, that redemption is now possible, and we can enter your presence with full confidence, for we have been cleansed and made righteous. We are promised an inheritance that will never fade or be destroyed. It cannot be messed up by our sin. It is waiting for each of us in heaven. God, you give us faith and protect us with your awesome power so that we will be able to receive your salvation that will come when Jesus returns. We have such amazing hope. As we think of the next generation, we pray that this hope would envelop their hearts, they would rest in it and know without a doubt that what you have promised will come true. May their faith in you be continually strengthened as they remember your resurrection and what that power over death means for your power and hope in their lives as well. God, you are mighty and always faithful to your promises. For this, we praise you. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Well, I hope that that has helped you to understand how to pray and that we would commit to start praying this way for the next generation. Now, what we're going to do as we kind of conclude our worship is we're going to have a moment now where we'll take the Lord's table together. And so those that are handing it out, if you can come up here and be ready for that. We're going to be focusing on Christ because the idea of praying for the next generation is that the next generation would genuinely embrace Christ. And when we do the Lord's table, what we are doing is we are proclaiming Christ until he comes. During our time together, when we partake of the table, it's welcome for anyone to come who's a believer in Christ. We don't have to be a member of our church, but we would ask that you would, that this would be an expression of your faith in Christ. It's not an act that saves you, so you don't partake if you've not trusted in Christ. But if you haven't, we'd love to talk with you. Pastor Jeff will be up here, and he would love to talk with anyone who'd like to know more about their faith in Christ. But as we partake of the Lord's table together, I do want to just make one quick introduction here. I'm going to ask Marian to come up. Marian is a good friend from Slovakia. Marian is a worship leader, and he trains musicians in Central and Eastern Europe. And just asked him if during our communion time, if he would just come and just sing for us. He'll be singing in Slovakian, but I think you'll be able to, you'll know the song and you'll connect. So as we're coming, he'll be singing for us, and just come and worship and just realize that we're partaking of something that the body of Christ around the world partakes of, and that people from every tribe and nation and tongue worships the same way in partaking of the Lord's table together. So when you are ready, you're welcome to come up front. The bread here is gluten-free, and in the back, there are those little self-contained units if you want to grab those instead. But just come when you're ready.